Continental Tires, AFL Trade Radio. The Early Trade for Tyre Power, Australia's biggest independent tyre retailer, keeping you safe on the roads. And for Bunnings, find out how Bunnings Trade can help your business at bunnings.com.au/trade.
Oh, we are back. AFL Trade Radio, Continental Tires AFL Trade Radio. If you don't mind, for season 2021, there are 17 teams right now looking to make some moves to get to the position that Melbourne got themselves into to win that historic AFL Premiership. And these are where premierships are won in the next couple of weeks. We'll take you through it. We'll interact. We'll debate and we'll talk it through with you. If you want to get involved and if you want to join in the conversation, the Kogan Mobile open line is 1300 23 55 48. And there's some exciting news. You can text us this year, first time ever after all these years on Trade Radio. The text line 0419 187 323. We will remind you of those numbers throughout. Joining me this morning for the next couple of hours is a man who just lives and breathes it. He's the best news breaker when it comes to AFL trade in the business. Mitch Cleary is his name. Mitch, good morning, and it is Christmas Day for you.
Good morning, Kane. Just rolled out of bed this morning with a little bit of a spring in my step. It's these sort of mornings that you get excited for. The next 13 days of Continental Tires AFL Trade Radio, Kane. I reckon I've been doing this for 8 or 9 years, and every year we've been crying out for a text line, and we finally got one this year. So I can't wait to see the interaction with the fans. And I will say, every year, the fans and the interaction gets smarter and stronger because people get more educated in what a future pick means, how you trade into drafts, how your teams are going to build their next premiership assault. So I can't wait to see what 2021 has in store.
And there'll be names flying around everywhere. They've already started, so maybe a big surprise. We'll work that through with Mitch over the next couple of hours. And if you've got a trade that you think works for your club and you think that is fair, send it through. Once again, that text line 0419 187 323. And if you've got a question for Mitch, no one knows more about the next couple of weeks than my co-host here this morning, who you will hear throughout AFL Trade Radio and has been doing it for, as he said, 8 or 9 years. Mitch, the grand final has been won and it was an unbelievable game. I want to talk about that as well. That third quarter display from Melbourne is, I think it relates a little bit to the trade period, because if you do not have two or three, probably two stars and a third midfielder who can go into the centre bounce and turn a game, then you're in a bit of trouble. And that was highlighted on grand final day. So there's a number of clubs looking at the draft and who they're going to pick and who they can trade for. But these midfielders that are powerful, like Oliver and the Norm Smith medalist Petrarca, are absolutely worth their weight in gold. And if you don't have one, you are at a massive disadvantage. And I'm not sure you can win it if you don't have one. What did you make of the game and that performance from the D's?
Oh, that 5 minutes at the end of the third quarter was sensational, Kane. And heard you and Damien Barrett on the Sunday Footy Show yesterday with Christian Petrarca, and how he almost had an out-of-body experience where he kicked that goal in the left forward pocket, the snap, the Peter Dacos-style goal, and then he went inside to win the next two clearances out of the centre for the Melbourne Footy Club, and he turned that game on a dime on his own. And I'm with you. I think clubs need to look at a trade period like this to go and target and find their Petrarca and Oliver. You know, we saw Melbourne a couple of years ago, and I know we'll delve into their lists more throughout the morning, but they went and targeted Luke Jackson and Cozzy Pickett as needs in the draft a couple of seasons ago. They traded into that draft to go and find those players. And you spoke about Petrarca and Oliver in the midfield. It was Luke Jackson that actually got the ball going out of the ruck. And it was fascinating to hear Simon Goodwin saying that Max Gawn came from the ground with about 5 minutes to go in that third quarter. And they said, "Are you ready to go on, mate?" And he said, "No, I want to stay off the ground because Luke Jackson is hot right now. He's going." That's a kid in his second year, a NAB AFL Rising Star winner, who helped turn the game for his footy club. Mm. So I can't wait to see which clubs attack the draft. You know, the Essendon Footy Club last year, we sat here at the start of trade period last year, Kane, and looked at them and thought, well, how are they going to get better? Are they going to go and get Josh Dunkley? Are they going to give up two first rounders? No. They went to the draft and targeted Nick Cox, Zach Reed. Archie Perkins had a super season as well. So I think there are options out there for clubs, and we'll hear more about the draft throughout the next couple of weeks, but it is pretty strong.
Essendon won the trade period last year, no doubt about it. The walls were caving in on the Bombers, yep, when those three players left, but the way that they were able to turn three very good players, but players that had probably needed a fresh start into three absolute future stars was a big win for them. Who's going to do an Essendon this year? Let us know your thoughts. Get involved. 0419 187 323. I was down there, as you said, at Joondalup, the resort where a lot of clubs, when they've flown to Perth, have been quarantining this year. And you're right. So we saw the names after the game that were spoken about, and those heroes from Melbourne that were lauded in Petrarca, and a lot of talk about Bailey Fritch and his performance in kicking six goals. The two names that probably flew under the radar but didn't internally, and they were just, you know, Simon Goodwin off air, just spruiking Angus Brayshaw's game. I saw Mark Williams, and he just was lauding Angus Brayshaw's game for, you know, it wasn't the, I guess, the most silky display from Brayshaw, but the hard things he did, putting his body on the line, the way that he plays that wing position. So he was one and Jackson with the other. And it ties into trade period, doesn't it, Mitch? Because how many times did you think about Brayshaw and mention Brayshaw as potential trade bait? Like, how many times we talk about Brayshaw?
Yep.
And he didn't go. And he's a premiership player. But not only that, he said yesterday he played his best ever AFL game in the grand final. So these sliding doors moments over the next 2 weeks, does a player go? Does he get traded? Does he stay? What happens? We'll speculate. But he stayed, and now he's a premiership player when perhaps a lot of people thought he was going to go.
Absolutely. I've been on that train for a number of years. Kane looked at the Fremantle deal a few years ago. I think he at least entertained it, looked at it. His girlfriend's obviously in Melbourne, so I think that stops any move there for Angus Brayshaw, but he's now a premiership player. Some of those one-on-ones he won in that second half of the third quarter were extraordinary. Take us inside Joondalup yesterday. I was very jealous on the couch yesterday. What was it like, you know, seeing all those players? Because there's not many better moments than seeing players with premiership medallions draped around their neck enjoying the experience.
Yeah, I think from a media point of view, it's the highlight of my year. So I've been lucky enough to do it the last 2 years just through circumstances coming from Adelaide, so into Queensland last year, and spent the Sunday morning on the show with the Richmond players, and the access that they give was phenomenal. And I think because clubs are so relaxed, they don't vet the media access, and the players are a bit more unfiltered than what they would be usually, because it's just raw, it's emotional, they haven't slept much. But the Melbourne Footy Club, with the way that they gave us access to these players. So yesterday morning we had Goodwin, we had Petrarca, we had Oliver, we had Viney, like just rolling through, and it was all, yep, no problem at all. So it was amazing. And I guess Jackson was the other one that I was going to get to. So the two players, and you've already highlighted it, his performance. But perhaps clubs now more willing to use a high draft pick on a ruckman, which they just haven't been able to do. So look, it's a copycat situation. It's a copycat league where, you know, everyone's trying to replicate the success of, you know, it was Geelong, then it was Hawthorn, then it was Richmond, and now it's probably going to be Melbourne. Does a club use one of their draft picks on a ruckman, because they've been very reluctant to do that, probably since, you know, way back when Collingwood drafted Brodie Grundy? So these are all the things we're going to speculate and work our way through this morning. And just huge believer that premierships are won during trade week and at the draft table. And that is absolutely the case, and highlighted by what Melbourne did on the weekend. We've got our first text, Mitch. Here we go. 0419 187 323. First time on Trade Radio we have had a text line. Chuck, what a name. Chuck, good on you, mate. Hi, boys. Huge fan. Just wanted to know, what is Essendon's main goal / target out of this year's trade period? Cheers. Mitch, what are the Bombers looking to do and add to the momentum that they created this time last year?
So they've got pick 11 right now in the first round, Kane. I think they want to go to the draft with that and continue to stock up on the young talent. So I can't see them moving on that pick 11 right now. If anything, I think it's a need for a key forward. Kane's a partner. The guys they've got down there, Harry Jones came on a lot this year. Peter Wright, we saw it in spits and spurts. So I think that would be a need. We already know they're getting Jake Kelly, the free agent from the Crows, 26-year-old. He's not the most flashy player. He's not going to win you games of footy, but he's a stopper. And spoke to this about with Matthew Lloyd at the Trade Radio launch last week, in suggesting that maybe it was the Cody Waitman game in that elimination final that just tipped them over the edge. They need someone who can shut out the small forwards. So we know the Bombers are going to do that. I think he complements their defence nicely. In terms of their midfield, they're super well stocked there. They've got players that can't even get into that midfield at the moment. And Dylan Scheel, you know, we spoke a bit for hours and hours on Trade Radio a couple of years ago about him. I see him probably their third or fourth midfielder in line now, when he was brought in as their number one or two banana. And then I think it is the key forwards. Where do you sit on the Bombers?
Yeah, look, their strength is their midfield. I just wonder what their play is for Ben King. And, so are you willing to make a big move now and try and chase that forward that perhaps isn't there? Like, you know, we can chat about Wiedemann and a few, but there's just not a forward there. Could you have a stopgap? Could it be a Mason Cox for a year and then just save all your money for Ben King and at least put your hat in the ring? Now, most people would say St Kilda is the obvious one for obvious reasons, but I think you would be negligent not to have a crack. The feeling that you get is Ben King's coming home. Maybe that's out of line, but is that the feeling? Is that the talk? Can you see him extending? It's going to be a lot of speculation this year. I don't see him extending in this offseason.
No, in saying that, I think we sat here in the Trade Radio studio a couple of years ago and we thought he was going to come home at the end of his second year, his original draft contract, and he actually extended for two more. So at the end of next season, that'll be his fourth year. I think everyone in footy, Kane, is aware that he's going to finish his career in Melbourne. It's just a matter of when. So is it after his fourth year? Is it after his sixth year? Tom Lynch was spoken about from a young age at the Gold Coast Suns. He lasted for 8 years as a free agent. So the same management groups in Paul Connors and Robbie D'Orazio at Connors Sports Management, they're known among list managers in the clubs that they like to see their players given a good crack at a club. They like to stay for 4, 6, or 8 years to see what they can do. Now, I think Ben King finishes his career in Melbourne. As a matter of when that is, let's see. You spoke about trading into the draft this year. I'm really keen to see if we see an Essendon or a St Kilda bundle up a couple of picks this year and move into next year's draft. Is there going to be a club out there like the Bombers or the Saints that try and enter next year's trade period with two first-rounders for a player like Ben King? I think these are some of the machinations we can wait to see unfold as well.
Yeah, and we'll see how willing clubs are to trade those future, particularly future first-round picks on the back of what GWS and Collingwood did last year. So the Giants got pick two. Like, what a play that was this year, because they traded for a future pick that just turned out to be in their favour. It is a giant risk. Do you think clubs will hesitate to do that on the back of that one last year?
Potentially, especially clubs maybe in the middle tier of the ladder or bottom. You know, like a Melbourne, for example, they could easily do it because they know they can bank on them finishing top four next year. You know, a Western Bulldogs, I can see them doing that because they see themselves contending again. So I think clubs like Collingwood in the middle to bottom part of the ladder might be a little bit more hesitant given that example. And you spoke about the copycat league. There's clubs out there that will see the Collingwood example. You know, I look at a club like St Kilda, for example. I can't see them doing that because who knows? They could bottom out. Let's hope they don't. But they could easily follow Collingwood's suit. So I think clubs will be hesitant around that area as to what they do.
So there's another thing I learnt out of the grand final. Patience is, and I'm absolutely guilty of doing this and judging players.
I think we all are.
Too early. Like you, and supporters are the same. So, a player comes in, they're a high draft pick. They spend 2 or 3 years on a list, and you get impatient. You know, is this player ever? Well, maybe we should trade that player. I learned out of the Brownlow Medal and out of AFL Grand Final Day, just be patient with these high draft picks that have so much talent. Ollie Wines wasn't picked for round one last year in the Port Adelaide side. He wasn't in their best 22. His fit is ready to go, and they overlooked him for round one. Now, a season later, he wins the Brownlow Medal, and it's at age 26. It's not at age 22. Christian Petrarca is about to turn 26. This is his seventh season, and there was inconsistencies. A lot of people got impatient. Is he going to make it? What's he going to be? Is he going to be a flashy forward who bobs up and has 15 possessions and kicks a goal a game? Or is he going to have 39 and kick 2 in a grand final and win the Norm Smith medal? So I think, this isn't a criticism at all. We all want players to come on as quickly as they can. But Richmond, you know, how long did it take Cochin and Revolt and Martin, these high draft picks that come in to win a premiership? It is 6, 7, 8, sometimes 9 years. So that's the other thing that was a big learning out of the grand final, was just, you know, as much as we want them to be superstars straight away, a bit of patience. And, you know, so I look at someone like I hate to bring it up, but Connor Rosie, third year. Yeah, we're all impatient by Connor Rosie, but nothing that he's doing isn't what Christian Petrarca was doing in his third season. Like, there's a comparison there. So just to be patient with that is another thing. Mitch, I was walking into Optus Stadium.
How are you walking, Kane? Because I saw the Sunday Footy Show Friday night extraordinaire. Incredible effort to pump out a marathon on a treadmill. How has the body pulled up? How have you been walking since that moment?
Rough, really rough. It's 3 days in and I've never felt worse. So that was... I underestimated the challenge. So I was limping around up the stadium. He's sort of rushing to functions. Hutchie had me going everywhere. I was doing some other things. I was sort of sprinting, trying to get up to the commentary box. I was a bit flustered. It was a hot day, 27. I was wearing a suit. I was sweating up and I just dropped the kids off because they went to the grand final. I had a magnificent time. I put on a great show. And I was walking around to my seat and there was an AFL figure walking towards me. And I was like, gee, I know that name. The one man who has saved the AFL in the last two seasons, you would probably agree, is Travis Auld, right?
Yep.
With Gil, with a few others.
Yep. But there's a few others at AFL House that don't get the recognition, but his fixturing and his manoeuvring, working the phones at all hours, has been first class.
Absolute magician. So he's the reason we're all in a job and he's saved the season. So he's walking towards me, and as he's got right next to me, I've gone... Oh, g'day, Andrew. Have a great day. And I've got him confused with Andrew Dillon. So the one man that saved the AFL, I'm walking into Optus Stadium, and as soon as I've said, that wasn't Andrew Dillon, and I'm with Lucy, I'm like, that wasn't Andrew Dillon. That was Travis Auld, and it was too late. Like, it was gone. He didn't react, but I'm thinking, oh, what an absolute idiot. And that's what I do, Mitch. I call people the wrong name and significant influential figures at the AFL.
No, I think you've got an excuse, Kane, with the fatigue that you would have had in your body.
We might
clip this up. I think Travis Auld is on Twitter. We might clip this up on Trade Radio account and see if we can get to him. He's I'm sure he'll be very accommodating of your last 48 hours.
I hope he finds the funny side of it. Hey, for the first time ever in Continental Tires AFL Trade Radio, we have a text machine. So get the number down. You're going to need it over the next 2.5 weeks. There's going to be big action, massive news. All the big personalities will be joining us. We'll have Silvani, Rendell, Barrett. We'll have Lloyd, Goddard, Del Santo, Sammy Edmund. We'll have all the big names. And the best part about it, Mitch, is when we get the players from Clubland. Like, so we're all chasing a list manager or a player agent or a player that is involved in this. So we'll be doing our best, the best team of producers behind the scenes, making sure we have the absolute best guests. But is there one marquee interview? Is there one list manager? Is it Carlton? You know, like, how do they get Chera? Is it Fremantle and how hard are they going to dig in over this? Is it Sydney with Dawson? I mean, he's finished top three in their best and fairest. He's named his home, but Adelaide have got pick 4 and 23. They're not giving up 4. Is 23 going to get it done? So is there one club that you think is going to have the most to say in this period?
Carlton is probably the one, given the need to land Adam Chera. They've got pick 6. Do they do that? How does all that work? Plus the Geelong Footy Club, Kane, with so many things up in the air right now. I think, so you spoke about the interviews. I think Nick Austin, the list manager at Carlton, is one we want to hear from here on Continental Tires AFL Trade Radio. And then Stephen Wells and Andrew Mackie, they're sort of combining the list management space at the Cats now. Stephen Wells still very much hands-on, but Andrew Mackie has stepped up, obviously a three-time premiership player with the Cats. They're going to be the ones with a lot to say in this, given Jordan Clark is contracted. Where does he sit? He's seen a grand final in his backyard in Perth. Does he request a trade to Fremantle this week? So a few big interviews, but we'll hear them all right here on Trade Radio.
Oh, it's exciting. Then we got the Pies after the debacle last year and how much focus we had on them. What do they do? Port Adelaide absolutely need another inside midfielder. So is Jason Cripps and Jeff Parker, are they going to be active in this period? We're about to find out. We're up and running. This is the Early Trade for Tyre Power, here to help you stay safe on the road. And for Bunnings, Bunnings Trade, welcome on board to that magnificent company, helping business in their trade. Get involved. Give us a call. The Kogan Mobile Open Line, 1300 23 55 48. Back with plenty more after this. Mitch, the Melbourne Grand Final was won out of the middle of the ground in the most unbelievable display. 19 points down halfway through the third quarter, and then whack, it was Viney, it was Oliver, it was Petrarca, it was Jackson that just went to work. And you think back to that rule change with the 6-6 and 6 that we don't talk about a lot because it's been you know, stand rule and other rule changes, but that was a big influence over that result, I would have thought.
Oh, definitely. And Luke Beveridge touched on that in his post-match press conference. I reckon if the Demons kicked 2 goals in that time, I looked at the score, Kane, and there was 50 seconds on the clock in the third quarter remaining. and the Demons led by 2 goals. They went whack again and then put the game beyond doubt. I think that if that rule hadn't been brought in, the Dogs would have had 3 or 4 extra bodies behind the footy and we wouldn't have got to that situation. But that's the beauty of footy right now. And I guess we could argue that with that 6-6-6 rule that the Dogs actually had a chance in the last quarter if they went whack themselves. Mm. So it's opened up footy and I think it was a great spectacle and probably the best case we've seen for that new rule.
Yeah, just from a strategy point of view, if that was the case and it was a grand final of old times when there wasn't that rule, what you can do, you can send one of your forwards up right around to your defence and to run in off the back of the square. Eddie Betts used to do it at Adelaide, you remember, it just comes streaming through. And not only does it give you a handball receive option, but it also crowds up the space so you can't run out of the front of the stoppage, which is what clearly Melbourne were doing. The night grand final. Would you believe, outrated this year's Olympic Games opening ceremony, 3.9 million viewers to make it the most watched television program so far in 2021. Now, we know these figures are probably inflated because in large parts and in the states with the highest population, lockdown, so that is obviously inflated. But having experienced a twilight grand final, so
yeah,
it was. Well, it was. I've done the last two. It is a much better spectacle. And I know this is a cause for a bit of debate because particularly in Melbourne, when you're sitting around and you're in lockdown and you've got nothing to do throughout the day, I understand it would have felt like a long time to get there. But when the grand final returns next year to the MCG, that sort of 5:30 slot, you have plenty to do during the day, out and about, breakfast, lunch, socialising, back for the game, the spectacle, the spectacular, the night entertainment at halftime. It's magnificent, and the ratings confirm it's going to happen.
Yeah,
I think it's just going to happen. Now, whether that's next year, but when Channel 7, who pay billions of dollars, look at these figures and go, well, that's what's happening at night, there's no argument that this is going to be here. So those that love the day game, and I was one of those for a long time, probably time to get your head around the fact that it's not going to be during the day for much longer.
And I'll put my feet in the shoes, Kane, of a footy fan or a blow-in footy fan from New South Wales or Queensland, right? So NRL Grand Final, I'm probably less likely to watch it if it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I might be more likely to watch a game that I haven't got a great deal of interest in at 5 or 6pm in the evening. And that's what I look at in terms of trying to attract the non-traditional footy fan. Now, you and I are going to watch the game regardless when it is. Footy fans who just die and live for the game are going to watch the game regardless. So I think it's all about, I think it's more about the fans that sort of 50-50 on whether they're going to watch it. And you've got to do everything you can to attract those people. And if it's more likely they're going to watch it at twilight or a night game, then do that.
Bit of news around the trade space as well. You broke the story about Tom Lynch. So North Melbourne exploring all options with delisted Adelaide forward Tom Lynch. We might go in depth of how that looks, but give us a tease about what they're weighing up at the moment.
So right now he's a development coach. They've signed him to work under David Noble, who he worked closely with obviously at the Crows. Heath Uni is the forwards coach at North Melbourne. They've got a close relationship. Tom Lynch will be at the North Melbourne Footy Club next year. It's just a matter of whether he's on the playing list or on the coaching list, Kane. Now, the Port Adelaide Footy Club did it with Tyson Goldsack. We'll explain the reasons why a little later, but it's more about salary cap management and soft cap management to get a player like him in. He can play as well if he's on the rookie list, as in a break glass in case of emergency scenario. I like what the Roos are thinking here, and it's a bit of 2021 ingenuity around clubs and what they do with their money.
All right, I've got some strong thoughts on that. We'll get to that shortly. You can text us on 0419 187 323. A few coming through. Darren says, I thought Treloar was impressive on Saturday. Well, he turned the game. I thought Adam Treloar, and when we speak about trade week, I mean, he was the biggest name throughout last year's trade. His second quarter was amazing, and pushing forward and following up on his contest work to hit the scoreboard was very influential. Twilight or night grand final is no good. It has to be during the day. All the surveys say it. Yeah, all the surveys say it, but unfortunately the ratings don't, and that's all that the broadcasters care about at this point. Just wait. What I would say for those that don't want it, just wait till you experience it.
So were you one of these people that wanted the afternoon before you experienced what you have in the last 2 years?
100%. I was day the whole time. And having played in a day grand final as a player, I loved it because you didn't have to sit around thinking about the game too much. And then once you win it, you've got that whole extra time to be able to celebrate after. But we don't complain about prelim finals being at night. That's the thing. No one ever says, oh, prelim finals are no good at night. And prelim final is probably the best weekend on the footy calendar. And there, we're just used to them being at night. I think just wait till you see the MCG lit up after halftime with 100,000 in the house, all the festivities happening in Melbourne during the day, and then after, make an informed decision about what you think. But anyway, you can text us and share your thoughts on that one, 0419 187 323. We are up and running. It's the early trade. Mitch Cleary, the best in the business, in the house. That was a trade news update for Beaumont Tiles Trade Club. Visit icanwin.com.au. Tom Lynch, we're going to go in depth with that and how that may work for North Melbourne. You've got a question on any club or any player, text it through. You can tweet us as well at Trade Radio. Early Trade, we'll be back shortly. 1300 23 55 48. Who wants to be our first caller for the 2021 AFL Trade Radio? Get involved, joining the conversation. Heaps of texts coming through early. Strong reaction to the night grand final. And I understand not a lot of people are in favour of it. Families really struggle with the 7:15 start. Needs to be 4:30 at the latest. The entertainment is the game. But Kane, most people don't get to experience the game at the ground. I understand that, but the experience in the city, you know, even if you're not going to the games, be able to get out and about and see all the activations and things for the kids during the day, and then to go home and watch it at night. I just think it is a better spectacle on TV. Understand it's a good debate. Mitch, for you, do the Kangaroos have a strong position to trade for a Callum Coleman-Jones if they refuse to accept Robbie Tarrant? Tigers would lose their compensation pick for Marbeol Chol. How do you see this playing out for North Melbourne? Robbie Tarrant, obviously going to Richmond as well, and the two clubs, and how this is going to work.
Yeah, so I'll try and break it down, Kane. So the Tigers are losing Marbeol Chol to Gold Coast. They will expect a compensation pick right now. So probably a third rounder for Marbeol Chol, given his four-year deal to Gold Coast. Now, if they bring in Robbie Tarrant as a free agent, that will offset the compo they get for Marbeol Chol. So a few years ago, you remember when Carlton brought in Dale Thomas, they lost the compo they got for Eddie Betts. Mm-hmm. So clubs don't like to, when they lose a free agent, they don't like to bring in a free agent because it offsets the free agency compensation they get. Now, the Tigers will want to trade for Robbie Tarrant then, but then they've got the same scenario where Coleman Jones is going the other way. So throw in all of this as well. If Coleman Jones, I think Tarrant gets done for a late pick, 60s or 70s right now. What are the Tigers? They got a stack of picks early that they might even use a future third or fourth rounder. I think that one gets done. As for Coleman Jones, North Melbourne have the threat of the preseason draft up their sleeve as well. So if Richmond don't want to play ball with Callum Coleman Jones and accept a pick sort of in that second or third round for him, I think North Melbourne would be happy to walk him to the preseason draft. Clubs don't like doing it, Kane, because they know that in 12 months, 24 months down the path, that the shoe might be on the other foot and they might have to be in the same scenario. But there is that threat right now. We've seen the last couple of years clubs do it. Jack Martin at Carlton and Jackson Hatley at the Crows. So North Melbourne definitely have that option.
Yeah, it's a last resort, I reckon. They do like to be some goodwill, and that doesn't happen often, but as you said, it did happen a couple of times last year. G'day, fellas. It's Adrian here. G'day, Adrian. Welcome to Trade Radio. Just wondering if you think Sydney can orchestrate a three-way deal for Peter Laddams to Sydney, Dawson to Adelaide, and trade picks go to Port. So Laddams is interesting for me, and I was surprised that he extended his deal at Port Adelaide probably this time last year with Sam Hayes, the other ruckman that they're pretty keen to play, and obviously Scott Lycett is their number one option. Not many clubs carry three rucks that can play and are probably in your best 25 players. So I think it's absolutely the right thing for Laddams himself to explore that and try and be that number one target. So there'll be interest, but what's he worth? I mean, is it a late second round pick? Is it an early? He's a hard one to value, but it's what a lot of clubs have done. I mean, look at Richmond with Nan Curvis and Hickey going to multiple clubs. You know, there's a lot of clubs out there that are desperate for a ruckman, and often they come from other clubs and they pick them off that way. But I just don't know how to value his worth to another club.
He's worth a lot more given he's contracted. I reckon if he was out of contract, Kane, it'd be an end of second round pick right now. That'd be his value. But given he's under contract at Alberton for one more season, I think he's an early second, maybe even a late first. I know you might laugh and think that's a bit too much for a player who's in and out of the Power's best side, but he is contracted and the Power have the rights to him. Now, Sydney had a crack at him last year before they brought Tom Hickey in as part of the deal for Alir. The Swans cap was really tight. We know it's tight right now. I think Peter Laddams would be the perfect player for that footy club to come in at his age and take the mantle off Tom Hickey. He can play forward ruck in the meantime as well. But I just don't think the Swans have the salary cap room to entice him. He's got 1 year remaining on his back end of deal at the Power, or the deal that he signed at the Power. He's going to, if he does move, he's going to want a 4 or 5 year deal to do that. I just can't see the Swans having the money to stump up for Peter Laddams right now. But I agree. I think he's a good player. He's an up and coming player, and there is going to be interest for him.
Get involved. 1300 23 55 48. That's the Kogan Mobile Open line. You got a question for Mitch? There's no one better. We've got him on the early trade this morning only. Then he will resume his usual slot. Across, you know, all sorts of breaking news. Matthew Lloyd in the house tomorrow from 7 o'clock. Jordan Dawson, Adelaide got pick 23. Now he has announced them as his preferred home, which is great for the Crows. I think it's a brilliant get for them. He's in the absolute right age bracket that they need. The thing about Adelaide, Mitch, they're all young or they're old. There's no real in between. There's no 23 to 26 year olds. When I say no, there's not enough of those types of players. So he's in that age, one of the best ball users in the competition, third in Sydney's best and fairest in a good finals year, is a strong performance. I love him centre forward more so than centre back.
Yep.
The Crows got pick 23. It's not going to be enough, is it? It's just what else they sort of swap and how they manoeuvre this trade, which will happen.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I think it's worth a little bit more than 23, but not too much, Kane. Now, I look back at what Sydney did for the Zach Jones deal a couple of years ago. That was essentially pick 32. Now, you could argue that he had more runs on the board than Jordan Dawson at the time. I think Dawson is a better player than Zach Jones. He's got a lot better upside and he's going to be of better importance to the Adelaide Footy Club. But that was pick 32 at the time. And Zach Jones had been a little bit more of a consistent performer. Yes, Dawson was third in the BNF this year. I think he's going to be a star. I think if it was the Powers pick, what's their first pick right now? That pick 16. That'd be about the right market for him. So maybe it's that 23 from the Crows and a late swap of, you know, second and third round picks for both of these clubs.
All right, get involved. You got a question, what's a player worth? Let us know your thoughts on that one. The big names. I mean, we all got a bit excited with Lachie Neale and the story that dropped a couple of weeks ago, and the trade radio social team were just flying. Everyone was interacting. Is there going to be a surprise? I remember being live on air with Matthew Lloyd when the news about Sam Mitchell to West Coast broke.
Yeah.
Now, he wasn't in the prime of his career, but it was just one of those ones that completely floored you. There's something that's going to happen like that, isn't there? I don't have an inkling into what it may be, but is there a Stephen Cornelio back home to Perth? Is Lachie Neale, are they going to go again Freer? I know he said, no, I'm going to stay. But Dane Beam said, no, I'm going to stay also. And was traded a couple of weeks ago and a couple of weeks later. And it's not the first player to sort of flip and change. Is there a big name, Mitch? Are we going to see one bob up?
Well, I'm with you around the Stephen Cornelio discussion. He's got 5 years left on a long-term contract at the Giants on very good money. And as Soss said last week at the Continental Ties AFL Trade Radio launch, Kane, he's being played as a half forward right now on star midfielder money. So it just doesn't fit right now in the captaincy. You can throw all that into the conversation. I look at Hawthorn as well. I know reports over the weekend suggesting Tom Mitchell wants to stay at Hawthorn. That's all and well, but Adam Trawell wanted to stay at Collingwood last year as well. I think if Hawthorn want to fast track this rebuild, we spoke about what Melbourne did in terms of going for Jackson and Pickett, then one of their stars in O'Meara, Mitchell, Gunston, I think one of those guys has to tip out or at least has to be part of a conversation given how keen the Hawks are to go to the draft this year and fast-track the rebuild under Sam Mitchell. The other one too, Kane, is we can't forget is the pre-agents. So these are the players who are in the final year of their contract before they become a free agent next year. We've seen a lot of these players move over the years. Dylan Scheel, he was a pre-agent when he moved. Alir, he was a pre-agent when he moved last year. Now, Collingwood right now, look at their pre-agents. Jordan Dugowie and Darcy Moore. We haven't spoken about them at all this year. And not saying there's anything in the works right now, but do Collingwood look at think, well, one of you guys might be leaving in 12 months. We go to the trade period right now and cash in and get two first-round picks right now. These are the things that clubs weigh up. Some other pre-agents, Kane, Jack McRae, Caleb Daniel, Jaden Short, James Sicily, Took Miller. I think this is as good a year as we've seen in terms of the pre-agents. I've heard nothing around them, but they are names that clubs will continue to look at over the next 2 weeks.
Very interesting. Let us know your thoughts, Pies fans. Degoe and Moore, was it, as pre-agents? So yeah, they're going to need a massive pay increase, you would think, or be looking for, you know, for Degoe, it's probably that last big deal, isn't it? You know, that agent. And Moore's probably similar, where, you know, we've seen the likes of, you know, Petrarca sign for 7 and Grundy sign for, and Kelly sign for 10. They're all about the same age that yeah, these players are. They're going to be looking at deals, you know, upwards of between $800,000 and $1 million. Just with Melbourne winning the premiership, Mitch, I was sort of lying in bed at 11 o'clock thinking about this last night. It never stops, does it? So you get to celebrate for a week or so, and then you sort of look into your review, and then you're always looking at how you're going to get better. The thing with success, it creates challenges, because all of a sudden you've only got a salary cap. And I look at Cozzy Pickett, and I look at Jackson, and I look at Fritch, and they're going to get paid. I look at Oliver. Like, Oliver's a $1 million player, right? Clayton Oliver's a million. What's he got? 1 or 2 more years left?
He just signed 2 more on the top of his deal at the start of this year, Oliver. So he's out of contract. I've got here 2023.
Yeah, so 2000. They'll be looking to renegotiate him, you know, probably at the end of next year. He's going to need probably $1 million for his worth. So it's how much of a sacrifice that these premiership players can now make when they're all deserving of massive increase in salary. And for Pickett and Jackson coming off those, you know, first 4 years in the league, then you're looking for that massive bump in salary. It's going to be a real challenge for them. They've already committed to Petrarca. Gorn's going to need, you know, big money. May and Lever are on big money. We know that. Viney's got a long-term deal on big money. Harm signed, I think, for 4 years on, you know, not going to be big money, but it all adds up. So it's going to be a significant challenge for them over the next couple of years.
It is. I'm looking at their list right now, and we'll get to the Western Bulldogs a little later, Kane. They're actually a big stark difference in terms of their contract scenarios at both clubs. So the Melbourne Stars are all signed up long-term, as you just mentioned. The Dogs guys, they've got 8 or 9 of their best players all out of contract next year. So that's an interesting watch on them. As for the Demons, you spoke about Bailey Fritch. He's out of contract at the end of next season. I would hazard to say that he's going to be worth double what he is on right now.
Double. 100%.
So to another club, in the open market, yeah, he's worth double.
He's kicked 6 in a grand final. Hasn't been done since Darren Jarman. Like 20-odd years. Kicks, and he's kicked 59 goals for the year. Now, that's more than any other player. And he's a genuine match winner. And how many match-winning forwards are there? I mean, we saw how hard it was to pick the forward line in the All-Australian team. So if he's on, I don't know what he would be paid. I've got no idea. And that's why wages should become public. And it's a backwater thing that we don't do.
He wouldn't be on any more than average wage, I don't think. Given the Melbourne pay structure, I couldn't see him on being any more than $400,000 right now.
Yeah, $380,000 to $400,000.
Yeah, maybe even a little bit less.
He's worth $700,000,
yep,
Bailey Fritch. And you know, it's just, you know, what Richmond have done, what Hawthorn did, and what Geelong. I mean, how many great Geelong players played for half of what they were worth? You look at Chapman and Bartell and Joel Corey and Enright and these star players that I don't think ever would have earned massive money and money that they were worth. So success, do you sacrifice it or do you go for the big deal, and how do you keep this list together is going to be interesting to watch over the next couple of years.
But look at Melbourne right now, Kane. How much more is Max Gawn worth in his post-career now that he's got a premiership captain next to his name? Every function he's introduced at for the rest of his life, he's described as a premiership captain. Christian Petrarca is a Norm Smith medalist, Kane. Mm-hmm. Now, if you take $100,000 or $200,000 less a season in your playing career, what does that equate to over the life of your deal? You've got premiership teammates the rest of your life, Kane. Those guys will be able to earn, you know, how much for the rest of their life? I think these are the things players need to weigh up, and it's a really interesting scenario with Melbourne right now. You spoke about their contracts. They've got a lot of players signed up for the long term, but when it comes and those 23 and 24 and 25-year deals start to tick over, let's see what they do.
Hey, want to look at the Western Bulldogs next, because they're going to be key players in this draft with another academy prospect or father-son coming in, and their forward line next year with Bruce injured and a couple of young stars. But what do they do behind the ball as well in their defensive structure? So how can the Western Bulldogs go one step further? We'll look at that and all the latest trade coming up. This is the Early Trade for Continental Tyres. It's AFL Trade Radio. When you need tyres, ask for Continental. continental-tyres.com.au. Might start with some news out of the premiership-winning Melbourne Football Department. Caroline Wilson broke the story about halfway through the year, or perhaps even earlier than that, than their high-performance boss Darren Burgess had decided to join the Adelaide Football Club. Now, the club didn't confirm or deny that. They just asked for some privacy. I would expect that is confirmed in the next day or so, Mitch, which will be a significant blow for Melbourne, but clearly a huge addition to the Adelaide Footy Club, who can significantly improve in that fitness and high-performance space.
How about being a Crows player this pre-season, Kane? Going into the summer, looking at what Melbourne have done in the grand final, I'm thinking, why can't that be us in 2 or 3 years? You've spoken a lot about Darcy Fogarty and his fitness over the last couple of seasons. Why can't he do what Christian Petrarca has done? I know they're a bit of a different player, but look at what some of these Melbourne players have done, and I think it's an exciting time to be a young Crows player.
It is. I remember when Darren Burgess came back to Port Adelaide for the second time, the end of the 2012 season, we'd won 5 games. He came in, put us through probably the toughest preseason that I've ever had. We flew across to Dubai for a preseason camp. Not that the Crows would be doing that, but he's a big believer in heat training. So not altitude training, which was all the buzz when Collingwood went to Arizona all those years ago for, you know, probably 6 or 7 years in a row. He's a massive one for heat training. So Crows players, get ready for some exhausting training in the heat, and you will train like you've never trained before, and that's exactly what they need. So, you know, Schonberg can get fitter. Fogarty can get fitter. You know, there's a number of players on that list that need some development in a couple of pre-seasons, and he's the one to guide them through that. So Melbourne will be on the hunt for a new fitness boss. Jordan Clark, what's happening there? And also some news around Matthew Scarlett. So we'll start with Jordan Clark first, and then I'll ask you about Geelong assistant who has stood down Matty Scarlett.
Well, can I go and say that they're intertwined, Kane, in terms of what happens with Jordan Clark? So we know Matthew Scarlett, one of 3 assistants that have walked out on the Cats right now. He hasn't got another deal lined up for next year. He's just taking 12 months out of the game. Now, Jordan Clark is contracted for one more season at the Cats. He hasn't been able to play in that defensive system because, of my understanding, Matthew Scarlett hasn't wanted to play him there. He's been a non-believer in Jordan Clark as a defender in that side. That's why I've seen Jordan Clark had to try and play on the wing and even as a small forward this season. It hasn't worked. He's a halfback or even a wingman, and that's where he played his best footy in his last year as a junior and his first year at the Cats when he burst onto the scene. But Scarlett has gone for guys like Tom Atkins, Jake Colajasny, Jack Henry, who all had great years. But I think Jordan Clark and the scenario with Matthew Scarlett, that's why we haven't seen a formal trade request right now for Jordan Clark, is because Matthew Scarlett's gone. Maybe Jordan Clark is thinking to himself, well, if I give this 12 more months at the Cats, can I become a gun half back at this footy club? That's something I think he's weighing up right now before he puts a formal request in at the Dockers. They've got a 4-year deal in front of him right now, Fremantle. I think it will come. I think he still will end up requesting that trade, but maybe it's just given him a bit of food for thought over the last week.
4 years. Why would a club offer Jordan Clark 4 years?
Well, that's what you need to pay to get these guys out.
This is what gets me, and it was George Hewitt, wasn't it, from Sydney. He's going to go to Carlton. I read, why would you give George Hewitt 4 years? That makes no sense. I read, hasn't been offered a contract at Sydney. The contract will come, but they're not in a position to offer him it yet. Why would Carlton give a player who's not getting a deal at another club 4 years? I don't mind the trade. It's fine. Give him 2 years. Why four?
Well, I can only play devil's advocate here on the George Hewitt one. Maybe they're giving him 4 years so that they know the Swans don't match the offer. So if it was only a 2-year deal on less money, maybe Carlton will think, well, gee, we might have to trade for this guy. But given he's a restricted free agent, the Swans have the rights to him right now. If they give him a little bit more as a 4-year deal and a bit of extra money came thrown in there, maybe they think the Swans won't match the offer and force a trade, like the Jeremy Cameron one, for example, last year. Maybe that's all I can think. He's 26, George Hewitt. 4-year deal takes him to 30. I don't mind it. I think it's a player that they need in that midfield as a defensive type of 2-way runner. They haven't had that sort of Ed Curnow now getting into his 30s. But, yeah, I can see you thinking on the Jordan Clark one. What is he, 21, 22 right now? These are the things you need to do to get these players out of footy clubs.
4 years for fringe players who can't get a game. It absolutely blows my mind, the long-term contracts that these players, particularly the fringe ones, are offered. You can give us a call. Get involved. The Kogan Mobile open line is 1300 23 55 48. Sal is in Glenroy. You want to speak about the Blues. Welcome to Trade Radio. You're our first caller of the year, so that's something for you, mate. Appreciate the call.
Oh, beautiful. Good morning, gents. How are we?
We're good. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Look, yeah, so I just wanted to especially ask you, Cornsy, getting Michael Voss as the head coach, what do you think of that? Like, considering maybe he was probably our third option, do you think moving forward he's the right man to get us to our 17th premiership?
I mean, it's impossible to know, isn't it? I mean, how do you know? I mean, even clubs don't know. Like, they got no idea. Someone presents well, and you think they're in a really good position until they're 1-5, and you see how they deal with pressure and the scrutiny that comes with being an AFL coach. And you know, that's one thing that I admire about Simon Goodwin. I mean, he handled himself with class when he was the coach under the most pressure. I mean, how many pressure indexes did I do on radio? Did you do on AFL.com? Yep. That would have been having him at number one. He just handled himself beautifully. So I think Michael Voss can handle that. And he has a leadership and a presence about him that he walks into a room and he commands the room. And now I think that's a significant start for him. How well does he see the game strategically? I don't know, but it would be a little bit of an alarm bell that he's been sitting on the interchange bench for Port Adelaide for me and not up next to Ken Hinckley from the coach's box. Or if he was, you know, really valuable in the strategic space, why wasn't he sitting smack bang next to Ken Hinckley in the coach's box with that full vision of the ground? But I know how hard he has worked on developing himself as an all-round coach. So leadership, he's worked on connection, he's done the forwards, he's done other areas, other lines, and he's also been a coaching director. So if he can support himself with the right team, I think he's as good an option as anyone.
And I don't think there was too many other options, Kane, given Correct. The way Carlton has committed to an experienced coach. And given they went Brendan Bolton, that didn't work. David Teague, that didn't work. They weren't able to go down the untried path again. I think Daniel Jean Siracusa is going to be a great senior coach. I think he's one that we'll be talking about for years and years to come, Kane, but they just couldn't have gone down that path given the way that Bolton and Teague basically blew up in their face. And I think Michael Voss was their only option. I think that presence and leadership you spoke about is the one thing that Carlton need right now, and combined with Brian Cook, I think it's a pretty good appointment.
Expectations for finals is not easy in your first year as coach, but I reckon they got it's a good job to get. The list is there. If the Blues players want to buy in to what they are doing and turn that footy club around, I think they're capable of doing that. Damien is in Mount Isa. You want to speak about the possibility of North Melbourne trading picks. Damo, welcome.
G'day. Thanks. Firstly, Kane, I just want to say I love your brain and attitude towards football. Brilliant. Keep it up.
Thank you.
Mostly, I just think North Melbourne need to go all in this year. Why not go for get Callaghan with pick two, take Horn pick one, move next year's first round pick to GWS. They've already got another first round pick. It's just got to go for it this year. Start getting that midfield up and going and full now, so they all just are already a little bit older in the next couple of years. It just works for me.
Yeah, I'm not sure, Mitch, if you saw the prelim final in the Sandfall over here.
Yeah,
Jason Horne-Francis, you know, pretty much best on the ground for South at least with 24 disposals, and he kicked 3 goals. So he's heading, it'd be a shock if he wasn't heading to North Melbourne, and genuine speed and class.
Yeah, he's on lock at number one, Jason Horne-Francis. In terms of the other decision that Damien threw up in terms of trading in, well, that's the peril of doing that, Kane, because if you were to bring in the 2022 first rounder into this year, you could be trading away pick number one if the Roos take the wooden spoon again next season. But if you can convince the Giants to say, well, give us your pick two this year and we'll give you our future first, maybe that, I don't mind that as a suggestion to go all in this year and fast track your rebuild, get the kids in the door right now. But who knows? What if there's another superstar waiting at pick one next year and you give that up? These are the things clubs have to weigh up.
Sorry, I said pick four. We'll end up being pick two, won't it, for North Melbourne after Dacos, which has already been confirmed to Collingwood. Yeah,
it depends if North Melbourne want to bid. You know, they could easily just say, we want Jason Horne-Francis at pick one and we don't bid on Nick Dacos or Sam Darcy, but they will get the best player in the open pool, and that is Jason Horne-Francis.
I guess Adelaide, because he is a South Australian, Jason Horne-Francis, I mean, a last-ditch play to get that pick one, I can't see. This doesn't happen very often where clubs... how long since a club has traded pick one in the draft?
To go back to the Trent Crowe deal?
I think we have to. I think we have to go back there. If you want to get involved, like Sal and Damo early on this early trade period, one day in the first morning, that number's 1-300-23-55-48, the Kogan Mobile open line, that is. You can also send us a text for the first time. in AFL Trade Radio history on 0419 187 323. Those texts are flooding through. We'll work our way through a few of those. I want to speak about North Melbourne and Tom Lynch and what role he plays next. But that was our trade news update for Mate Internet and Mobile, Australia's most satisfied NBN customers. Internet from just $59. Ben Rutten has just joined Gary and Tim on SEN Breakfast with the latest on their activity during this trade period. He gave an in-depth answer. Let's have a listen. We'll dissect it after this.
If we think it's going to strengthen and improve our squad, then we certainly will be. But I think probably what we did this time last year was I was really keen. I thought we had a lot of things within our squad that we hadn't uncovered yet. So I was really keen to, rather than looking elsewhere, to actually continue to develop and see what we've got on our list. And I think we had some really strong examples of that over the course of the last season with Jaden Laverty. We had going down back Tommy Cutler, even in the last 6 or 7 weeks going down back, Darcy Parrish. So to be able to continue to develop the guys that we had on the list was a really important priority for us. And I think there's still a hell of a lot of improvement we've still got within our list. So I'm really keen to exhaust that as much as we can over the next, 1, 2, 3 years. But certainly if we think we can improve our list externally, we'll certainly be doing that. But it's not going to compromise, some of the plans that we've got in place.
Would you like another big-bodied inside midfield type player?
Again, we saw probably 3 games out of Jai Caldwell, and I got some really, really high hopes on Jai. I think he was probably our best performer throughout the preseason in terms of our training and our preseason games. And right. I was just really disappointed that we lost him in the second round. I mean, he's a third going into his fourth year player. He's a big, strong inside player. He's got fantastic hands. I think he'll really be able to complement Darcy and Merritt and Shiel and those kind of guys in and around the ball as well. So again, as another example, I think rather than looking elsewhere, I think I'm really keen to work out what we've got in our squad, because I think we've got a fair bit of capacity still there.
The Josh Dunkley thing won't be revisited?
No, look, it's not on the table at this point.
What'd you make of that?
I agree. I don't think they need another midfielder, Kane. Look at Archie Perkins this year. He's a half forward. I think in the next 2 or 3 years, he should be going in there as a bona fide midfielder in that team. They can't even get them all in there at the moment. Jai Caldwell missed a stack of footy, as Ben Rutten just said. So I don't think the midfield is a need for them. As I mentioned earlier, I think that the key forwards are for them. But go all in on the draft again. Why not? They're building beautifully. And this is what clubs need to be wary of, Kane. St Kilda had the one jump last year in 2020. They made a final. They won a final and went out in the semi-final. Then they went and got James Frawley, Sean McKernan. Yes, Brad Crouch and Jack Higgins were fair enough. But clubs can't get ahead of themselves, and that's what Essendon can't do right now. They shouldn't, the Mason Cox thing, maybe he's a stopgap for a year or two, but they shouldn't go and try and target 28 to 29-year-olds and think that's going to solve all their problems. I think Essendon should continue down the path of the draft.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And so that brings in Carlton to the equation. Now, Michael Voss, their coach, spoke on ABC radio yesterday. He says that Adam Chera is set to nominate his club of choice in the coming days. Let's have a listen to Vossi speaking yesterday.
No, I haven't touched base with him as yet. Again, that's the feet under the desk thing, but I've been at least briefed on where that's all at. That looks pretty promising at this stage, clearly. So, the guys have gone to work really hard there. I've just been briefed at this particular stage, but yeah, no doubt over the over the coming days, so I'll reach out and hopefully get a chance to have a really good chat with him.
And do you think he is worth more than pick six, or what would be your thought around what you would have to give up?
Oh, way too early for me to speculate, yeah. And I'm not going to take over the list management team than what they've done there. So I'd probably need a little bit more time to have a look through what we go through there, but yeah, I mean, clearly he's going to add something to our group. Be able to add to that midfield depth will be pretty good.
How do they get it done?
I think it's got to include pick six, Kane. I liken it very much so to the Dion Prestia deal a few years ago. Both were top 10 picks when they were drafted. Prestia was a couple of years older than Adam Chera, and Prestia may have had a few more injury concerns, but I think pick six needs to be the cornerstone of this deal for Adam Chera. And we haven't seen him officially nominate his home of choice yet, Kane, because I just don't think players like to do that these days until they know that a deal can get done. Now, I think that'll come in the next couple of days, knowing full well that Carlton will be able to do that deal. But that's why the hold-up now, also Melbourne being in the grand final as well. But I think the hold-up around this one has been just ticking off that players don't like to put their hand up and nominate clubs as a trade before they've just got an inkling that the deal will go through.
Yeah, it's got to have to be that pick six. I think what is interesting with the draft this year and last year to a certain extent as well is that we haven't seen these players play. I mean, some of these players that are going to be picked in the top 10 have played 10 games in 2 years. So yeah. I think when you've got a player that you know their capabilities versus a player that you don't, that you're going to get with, you know, say a pick six or a pick seven in the draft, this year more so than ever, you're going to be willing to trade a pick, I reckon. Because you know what you're getting for a, you know, someone who has been on the list and has developed, and you know you're going to get 10 years out of them like you will Chera, as opposed to someone that these recruiters may not have even seen play live with Border. They're watching vision on TV and doing the best that they possibly can, but recruiting has never been harder when you just haven't been able to have the access to watch these players play live and you're watching it off a TV screen. So if I'm weighing up, is there a midfielder there at pick six that I've seen play twice in his life, or there's a player like Adam Chera that's spent 4, 5, 6 years on the list, you know what you're getting, then you know, no hesitation in trading that pick.
And in terms of Carlton's build, they've been working to this moment for so long. We spoke so much last year, Kane, about the Zach Williams and Adam Saad trade acquisitions. Williams is a free agent. But Carlton had underspent for so many years, paying 95% of their salary cap to get to the point where they can contend now. And that's what the hold-up's been, the development of their first-round picks, Petrevsky, Seaton, Dow, you can talk about them all. But Carlton's list build has put them in this position right now that they've got money to go and spend on Chera and George Hewitt, that they should be contending right now. And that's what Michael Voss has got in front of him right now. This is a list that's been built for 2021 and 2022 to contend, and the pressure is now on the Brisbane champion as coach.
So then there's the Fremantle side of things. I mean, you speak about building a list and having a strategy, and that was all built around that midfield. And they've done it, I think, as well as anyone, to the point where, you know, next year and everyone is of the belief that you're ready to go and you lose a vital cog out of that midfield. And we spoke about how the grand final was won out of the midfield, and Darcy is there. We know Sarong and Brayshaw in the years that they've had, and Chera as that bigger body type. You lose them. They're of the belief, speaking to a few people in Perth, that there are inside midfielders out there and they will be targeting one absolutely to replace Adam Chera. So I don't think they will be sitting on their hands going, okay, we'll take pick six and we'll go to the draft and we'll draft a midfielder and he'll take 5, 6, 7 years like Christian Petrarca to develop. I don't think they're going to be that patient. So in terms of inside midfielders, we've spoken about Canelio. Is he right to go back to Fremantle and play that role as, you know, a more of an experienced midfielder? Or is there any other midfielders out there that Fremantle can go after? Because they are certainly of the belief that there's a couple of midfielders that they can target throughout this period.
Yeah, on the Canelio one, at his age, 28 now, is he the right player for that build? Is this a Fremantle team that should be contending in 2022? Do you think they should be playing finals this year? Because these are the things clubs need to weigh up when it comes to going for a player like Canelio. If he was to leave, I think the Giants would have to pay, no doubt, some of his wage, like the Treloar one. But is it the right move for Fremantle, or should they be going for a 22 to 24-year-old?
No, ideally you'd be going for that bracket that Chera is in, but I just don't, you know, with Hopper re-signing and players like that, and you know, Merritt has re-signed this year, that there's just not that many out there. So it may be a bit more of an unexpected one that bobs up to go to Fremantle. Currently, as it sits, what have the Dockers got? Pick 8 and 27. They have had a number of delistings this year. In fact, 7 or 8 delistings, and Stephen Hill has retired. So there's a few spots up for grabs there. Hey, in the last half an hour, you got a question for Mitch. Get involved on the Kogan Mobile open line. It's 1300 23 55 48. You can text us 0419 187 323. And that was a trade news update for Beaumont Tiles Trade Club. Visit iCanWin.com.au. This is the early trade for Tyre Power. Tyre experts you should always trade with. And for Bunnings Trade, Bunnings Trade, helping business in their trade. Oh, Mosh is on board as well. Good friends of the show. Welcome on board to them. Let's get to a few tough conversations with Oliver, who joins us on the Kogan Mobile open line from Bendigo. Oliver, welcome. You want to chat about Hamish Hartlett?
Yeah, I was just wondering, because he's delisted, are there any clubs he is linked to?
Well, just watch this one, Mitch. I'm not sure there'll be a playing role for him, okay. But Michael Voss coming to Carlton. Don't be surprised if Hamish Hartlett joins the Carlton coaching staff as a development coach. So watch that one. I think he's that's the avenue that he wants to pursue. He's been an outstanding teammate and team member, a person with high character, and wants to get into that coaching space. So coaching panels are formed on the back of relationships, and clearly him and Michael Voss had a strong one in his time at Port Adelaide. Andrew wants to chat about the Bombers. Your thoughts, Andrew?
So I think that thanks for putting me on. I think Ruffin's wrong in relation to the team structure. I think Essendon's got deficiency at the centre-half back full-back line. The players there are great, but I think we're missing a big body defender who can take on the monsters. I think we get shown up when we are trying to defend, when the ball comes down in a high stakes area. But we haven't got anybody on the list except for Thatcher, Sir Thatcher, but he hasn't developed. And I think they need to look for someone in that position.
It's a good point, Andrew. I agree with the need to bolster in defence, but you can't forget about Zach Reid, a player they used a top 10 pick on last year. He's 202 centimetres. He's almost the Harris Andrews clone, Kane. I'll get it right. He's that 202 centimetre key back. He'll be able to play on your Ben King and your Max King in years to come. I think he's the one that Essendon fans should be really excited about. Had an interrupted 2021 with illness, glandular fever, and those sorts of things. I think a back injury as well put him out of footy for a big portion of the season. So Zach Reid is one that Essendon fans can cling to for the next few years. They've gone and got Jake Kelly from the Crows. He'll join as a free agent. Jaden Laverde can play taller and did at stages this year. James Stewart's there. I think they're going to be okay in defence, Essendon, and they can put their stocks into Zach Reid.
Good on you, Andrew. You want to join in the conversation with us? It's the Kogan Mobile open line, 1300 23 55 48. Lines available right now if you want to jump on and ask us a question before our time is up on the early trade. What about the fallout for the losers of the grand final? I mean, it's stunning, isn't it? We're halfway through the third quarter. Bontempelli slots another one, and you think, wow, this is going to be the most remarkable premiership I've ever seen. Next minute, they have 16 of the next 17 goals scored against them, and they lose by 70-odd points, and we're going, well, what does this team need, Mitch? What do you think it needs?
Well, maybe it needs a key back. Not to say that that was the way it lost the game. I think their midfield is super well-stocked, the Western Bulldogs, and it was just those Melbourne superstars that got hold of them. But I think you and I have spoken a lot this year on the round so far about the defenders at the Dogs, and I think Alex Keith's had a great year, but is it Ryan Gardner and Zane Cordy? Are they the answer in the long term? The other one you can't forget. So Sam Darcy, the father-son coming in, we all see him as a ruck forward. He could potentially play at centre-half back. That's a bit of the talk as well. Is that an option given Jamara Ugle-Hagan is there? Tim English is there in attack as well. As for what they do this trade period, a lot of it centres around the players not in the team. So Mitch Wallace is an unrestricted free agent, vice-captain, overlooked for most of this season, Kane. Does he stay or does he look to explore his options? Now, I don't know of too many suitors throwing themselves at Mitch Wallace right now. He's that stay-at-home forward, close to the All-Australian squad last year, but does he fit the footy in 2022? Let's see. Pat Lipinski, in and out of the team for much of the first half of the year. Haven't seen him for a while now. Has a three-year deal on the table, as Cal Toomey's reported, from the Dogs, but looks likely to go to Collingwood.
Is it?
So it's Collingwood most likely for him. I think Hawthorn had a bit of early interest. Carlton had asked the question as well, but I think the Blues are down the path with Chera and Hewitt. And I think he plays at round one next year at Collingwood, Pat Lipinski. Lewis Young came in and played a role as that ruck, sort of key defender, key forward type option. He's out of contract, South Australian, to one of the clubs come calling for him. I think there's a deal for him to stay at the Dogs if he wants it. Steph Martin, he signed on a one-year deal with the Trigger. He's not going to get that Trigger game because he missed a lot of the year through injury, but there is, I think, an understanding that he wants to play on. I think the Dogs will be open to that. And then you go to next year. So look, these are some of the names, Kane, that are out of contract for the Western Bulldogs in 2022. Bailey Dale, Caleb Daniel, Josh Dunkley, Tim English, Jason Johannesson, Jack McRae, Toby McLean, Bailey Smith. That's just some of them. That is a star-studded panel of players for 2022 coming out of contract. That list management team is going to have to get to work this off-season and manage this salary cap to within an inch of its life. They're very lucky that Marcus Bontempelli only signed for four more. He's done them a massive favour in not going for that 6 or 7 year deal. But they are going to have to be creative with those players if they are going to want to keep this team together for the future.
Yeah, and what do they do with Tim English? Because every time he went into the ruck on grand final day, he was exposed, as he has been a number of times. So is he a key forward? Because I just don't see him at the moment having the capabilities of being able to compete in the centre bounce. So I mean, Max Gawn laughed at him, basically, when he went into the ruck and he'd smash the ball 10 metres out to the ongoing Melbourne players. And Jackson, who is 4 years behind in development against Tim English, it looked just to be an absolute class above on grand final day. And that's not a one-off. I mean, that is consistent to the point where Luke Beveridge was rucking Marcus Bontempelli before he was rucking Tom English at certain ruck duels throughout the year. So where does he fit as a key forward? I mean, he looks better as a forward, but you've got Norton there, you've got Hugo Hagen, who you have to play, and you've got Darcy. So, I don't know. We've spoken about being patient with your players, but it's getting to the point where you're going to have to make a decision about English, and can you cash in on him knowing that, you know, you don't fully trust him to go into the ruck, but then what do you do as your backup ruck option? Because Steph Martin is 34. I actually thought he competed extremely well in the finals. Steph Martin off zero preparation, basically. So I thought that was an admirable performance from him. But they were exposed in the ruck. So that would be an area that they need to look at as well, Tim English, and also what they do as a second ruck option, because you just can't rely on Steph Martin's body.
Absolutely. I'll mention that the key backs at the start of this conversation, I think the rucks is definitely one of those parts as well, Kane. Is it a Peter Laddams? They go and identify him as their number one ruckman. Is he a number one ruckman? These are the conversations the Dogs need to be having, because, yeah, I'm with you. I think Steph Martin turns 35 next year, if he hasn't already. He's not going to be there for much longer. And can you trust Tim English? He's had plenty of opportunities now. Do you draw the line on him and say, no, you're only a forward ruck?
Couple of texts coming throughout the morning about Sam Petrevski-Seaton from Carlton. Now, all the talk has been to West Coast. He's a top 10 draft pick from a number of years ago. I think they've completely mismanaged the way that they've played him. He's definitely a reluctant halfback, which they tried to turn him in. One of my great frustrations is that if a player's career isn't tracking the way that everyone thinks it should, let's chuck him to halfback. I mean, that's where players just go to halfback. We'll work it out that way. But it didn't work for him, and he just didn't want to defend. So he's a centre forward player to me with extreme talent and extreme speed. What's he worth now, though? Because it's not going to be what they paid for him, and they're certainly going to lose out from this deal, you would think, the Blues. Or is there a chance that a new coach, a fresh start, can come in and try and convince him at the last minute to stay?
Yeah, it's going to be a lot less than that pick six they gave up for him a few years ago, Kane. I don't see it changing now. I think it's going to be West Coast for him. He's met with them. They'll have done the medical. A player like Sam Petrevski-Seaton and his management group at TLA, such a big firm, they're not going to nominate West Coast with knowing that deal can get done and knowing that that's where he wants to play next year. I think it was announced last week, he would have been well aware of Michael Voss being in the box seat for that. So I can't see that decision to nominate West Coast have been done lightly. They've got picks 29, 35, 49, the Eagles. It's not going to be their first pick 10. I think pick 35 is about right for Sam Petrevski-Seaton. Your Blues fans might be up in arms thinking that's a lot of unders, but this is a guy that couldn't get into a team that missed finals this year. He played a lot of VFL. He was sub on a number of occasions. I don't see the Eagles wanting to part with
and
much
out of contract?
More. Yeah, out of contract. Yeah. Yeah. So
yeah, that hurts them. Look, it's perfect for the Eagles because, I mean, their list is at a tipping point where they have a lot of ageing players that have been unbelievable for them. And, I mean, we're talking future Hall of Famers and stars of the competition, but they're about to tip over the edge. So to get a 23-year-old to bolster that is absolutely perfect for them and not having to give up much for him as well. Now, their salary cap is tight. We know that. What does Josh Kennedy do? Still discussing whether he plays on or not. And you've got Hearn and Shuri and McGovern and all these players that are banged up. Jared Brand is another one. He's the last first-round draft pick the Eagles have actually taken out of contract, I believe, and still they're deciding what his future looks like. So the Eagles are fascinating for them, but this is an absolute bonus to get a 23-year-old with speed and talent to play over there, and if you can get him happy, this could be one of the great trades of the trade period for them. Blues fans, Eagles fans, let us know your thoughts. Send us a text, give us a call, 0419 187 323 if you want to text us, or you can call the Kogan Mobile open line on 1300 23 55 48. That was the tough conversations for Mosh. Men's health made easy. We'll be back to wrap it all up on the early trade after this. That it is. Thanks for your company this morning. It's going to be a massive 2.5 weeks on AFL Trade Radio, and you can get involved, as always, in joining the conversation right throughout the day. We've got you covered with the best lineup in the business. This morning it's been Mitch Cleary, Matthew Lloyd and myself back from 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. Mitch, why don't we talk about the Hawks? Because new coach Alistair Clarkson has been so desperate to keep Hawthorn relevant in terms of not looking to rebuild, to the point where I think it has really hurt them now, and they're paying for it now. Now, there's a lot of people that disagree and they think there's some optimism at Hawthorn. I don't. I think their list is in a world of pain, and we're about to find out. So they've got draft picks 5, 21, 24, 56 and 62. Is it an all-out rebuild? Or is it a mini rebuild and they look to go to the draft but top up with a couple of other players and still remain highly competitive? What do you think their strategy will be?
I think it's a full rebuild, and I think it has to be a full rebuild. I think every time you hear from Sam Mitchell, he spent a lot of time looking at the draft prospects this year. He's put time and energy into that space. Their list management team is looking at the draft for this year. I personally think, and I don't think there's any moves right now up in the air, Kane, but I think they need another first rounder this year.
Same.
So 5, 21 and 24 are good picks, but I think they need another pick inside 15. And
how do they get it?
I threw up Jack Gunson a few weeks ago, and I still see him not being part of their next premiership push. Now, you might think O'Meara and Mitchell, Wingard, these guys maybe. They're 27, 28. They could hang on because the Hawks might be contending in 3, 4 or 5 years. But Jack Gunson is hitting 30. I can't see him being a key player in this next premiership push. And he's missed 12 months of footy, but he won their BNF last year. He's an All-Australian. He's still a star player. He's not going to get you a first rounder on his own, but the Hawks have got a stack of salary cap room, Kane. And I threw up the prospect of them paying the bulk of his wage for next year and going to a club like Brisbane or a club in the window and saying, we'll pay his wage. You give us a good pick for it and you take him off our books. So that's some of the things that the Hawks could be looking at. Tom Mitchell, I know there's been reports over the weekend that he wants to stay and he's set to stay. Until the end of this trade period comes and ends, I'm not going to stop talking about Tom Mitchell as being an option, given the conversations that have been around for him.
So we've spoken about clubs that need that inside midfielder, and Port Adelaide are absolutely one of those. We chatted a little bit about Fremantle. Clearly, they're interested because Lachie Neale, they went after at age of 28. Mitchell is similar. Who's prepared to pay a price to Hawthorn that would satisfy them, do you think?
Yeah. Is it a Port Adelaide? Is it a Richmond, a club that's in the window? And you might think, well, those clubs' salary caps are tight, Kane. But the thing I'll throw back at those people would be that Hawthorn have got oodles of money. John Patton and Tom Scully retired with good money left on their contracts. They've got I think right now Hawthorn have, along with North Melbourne, the most salary cap room to spend. So if I'm another club and I want Tom Mitchell, I'm saying to the Hawks, we'll give you a first-round pick for him, a good first-round pick for him, but you go and pay $200,000, $300,000, or $400,000 of his money for next season because you've got the room to do it and we'll give you a better pick for it. These are some of the things clubs need to be creative with, and I think the Hawks, all these senior guys, should be getting looked at. Last year, Kane, and I'll continue to talk about this, Ben McAvoy was given the captaincy at a time the club was resetting as a 31, 32-year-old. Mm. It was the perfect chance to give it to Tom Mitchell or Jager O'Meara, and those guys were overlooked for that position. I think that the void of leadership at that club in that age group lends itself to thinking these guys could be on the trade table.
Mm. Well, let's wait and see what Hawthorn. I'm fascinated by it because I think their list is in a world of pain, and they're probably the least list I would likely to have in the whole of the competition. I've said that throughout the year, and a lot of people disagree, and they'll get some players back that will come back through injury, particularly to bolster up their half-back line next year. Sicily's a star, can you get him back? Grange, Barras, you know, Will Day, all of that, but there's not enough when I look at the Hawthorn Football Club. So does the rebuild start completely now, and can they add another, I don't know, top 10 or 12 pick to the number 5 pick that they have already have, and will that be the club to trade away a big name? Outstanding from you, Mitch.
Look forward to
hearing you throughout the next couple of weeks.
Can't wait to hear you and Lordo, 7 o'clock every morning, Kane.
That was a trade news update for Mate Internet and Mobile, Australia's most satisfied NBN customers' internet from just $59, and also for Continental Tyres. It's AFL Trade Radio. We are back in a big way. It's going to be massive over the next 2.5 weeks. Big names, great debate, good interaction with you. When you need tyres, ask for Continental, continental-tyres.com.au. Up next, Nicky Del Santo and the great Brendan Goddard to take you through the morning with Trade Morning. See you tomorrow.